Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back into the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550 on this Friday morning. Brayton Wilson, Paul Hamilton here with you. And excited to be joined on the Wester Hotline here on WGR by Stephen Ellis from the Daily Faceoff. You can find him on Twitter at SEllisHockey and also at DailyFaceoff.com. Stephen, it's the exciting season now for hockey as the playoffs are over and we get ready for draft prep. How are you today?
I'm good. You know, it's an exciting time that we kind of, you know, like last year you looked at how late that playoff run went and it basically led right into everyone's NHL draft plans. Everyone gets a couple days to breathe, and then the chaos begins again.
Right, exactly. Well, we're looking ahead to this 2025 draft. The Sabres draft 9th overall, and we'll get to the Sabres in just a little bit. But before we do that, I do want to get the chance to talk a little bit about this draft class in general. And starting right up at the top, Matthew Schaefer has been widely regarded as the number one prospect in this draft class, despite only playing 17 games this season. Where do you see him in your mind? Is he your number one prospect, and is there anyone else that can kind of compare to him in terms of trying to challenge for that number one pick?
He is a special defenseman. Like, you look at some of the best blue liners that we've seen at come for the draft the last couple of years. You obviously look at Cale Makar, Adam Fox, Quinn Hughes, Matson Staline, and I think Schaefer's going to be one of those guys in that group there. It's a guy that just does so much with the puck, an outstanding skater, best offensive defenseman, one of the best defensive defensemen too. He can play the power play, he can do the penalty kill. Like, this is someone who can do everything. And even though, yeah, it was a small sample size this year, he just found ways to just excite scouts every single time. And he's also just one of the most mature prospects I've ever talked to. For a guy that had to deal with so much tragedy with his mother passing away, his other mom passing away, all the injuries he's had to deal with. Like, this is a guy who's still so upbeat, positive, and clearly can perform at a high level. So I'm excited to see what he's able to do. Like, I don't think he'll be in the NHL right away next year because he's going to need time to adjust. But I could see him going and playing some preseason games, turning some heads, and then kind of showing everybody what he's capable of.
It's also impressive the fact that he's also one of the youngest players, being just days away from being eligible for the 2026 class.
Yeah, and that's the thing about that. I don't love to look at the age of players necessarily because I feel like it gets overhyped a bit, but when it comes to just, like, he has had a little less time than everybody else, and he has obviously played much this year, and, like, he probably wouldn't be first overall in next year's draft, so it kind of works out for him, but this is a guy that you don't find defensemen like him often, and it's just really exciting.
Looking behind Schaefer at number one with the Islanders, if he goes there, which a lot of people do believe that he is bound to be the first overall pick of the Islanders, then we look at a guy like Michael Mesa, who I think a lot of people as well expect him to be number two to the San Jose Sharks. I mean, what can you tell us about the forward group this year? I know that it's a little bit intriguing with this group because it feels almost like sort of vibes of 2014, where you've got the number one defenseman at the top of the class, maybe not the talks of generational like Aaron Ekblad was, but then you have three really intriguing, highly skilled forwards that kind of reflect a little bit of the Sam Reinhart, Leon Draisaitl, and Sam Bennett sort of complexion there with that class.
Yeah, like this draft is not the strongest draft class we've ever seen, but it's got some really good value at the top. Like Michael Mesa, just a superb talent up front. Like trying to find a flaw in his game, it's going to be very difficult. Just had a monster season in the OHL, and while San Jose Sharks probably would have preferred to have Schaefer, just because they really do need a high-end defenseman in their system, and you know Mesa with Will Smith and Celebrini, that's the most insane center depth I think we would have ever seen. I still think that that's a good pick there. Then you look at Anton Trundell, Brady Martin is this guy that you watch Brad Marchand, you look at Matt Tkachuk, and Brady Martin is a very similar style player in the way that he can eat and battles and wins pucks, and that's the guy you win with. Caleb Desnoyers has won a lot already between Team Canada and also in QMJHL, I should say. Jake O'Brien, smart. Roger McQueen's got size and skill. So there is a lot of value to be found in that top 10 offensively. And I think everyone kind of points out in most draft years, it's the number two pick where things get interesting. This year, it's number three, the Chicago Blackhawks. That's where we'll see kind of which forward they take and how that really impacts everybody else.
Where the Sabres are right now in nine, are they in like a decent spot where they're going to get a certain level of player before it kind of drops off to a level where it may take multiple years for these players to develop? How would you characterize where the Sabres kind of sit at nine with this draft class?
I think it's one where I don't expect anyone to be quick to the NHL at this point, but like one name to keep an eye on will be Porter Martone. That's a name that some people think could slip a little bit outside of the top five, and then depending on the team's needs, like that would be a perfect fit. And that was a guy when like Buffalo was looking at a potential fourth or fifth overall pick, that was the guy I was targeting for them, because he just brings a lot of intensity, maybe not to the level that some scouts wish he could for a guy who could be this power forward, but he can hit guys, he can be aggressive, and he also has one of the best shots in the entire draft. He became this out playmaker this year, and he's extremely smart, so that would be a good pick. If he's not available, Radim Murka, 6'6" defenseman who loves to rush the puck. Keshawn Aitchison, another defenseman who just wants to go out there and kill everybody, but he's got the skill with the puck to back it up. Jack Smith, one of the more well-rounded offensive blue liners. Victor Eklund would be a guy that could be interesting to see. Like, he's one of the better wingers in this draft. Again, a great shot. Loves exploiting open ice, kind of like Porter Martone, so we'll see there. But yeah, like, there's going to be some really good talent, guys that I think could be in the NHL 2 to 3 years. And hopefully by then, if you're the Sabres, you've been in the playoffs once or twice by then, and you can kind of get one of these guys to start to be a big part of that future. But yeah, there's going to be some really good players at nine. And that's the thing, like, you go past the top 10, that's when things start to leak out a little bit. So you kind of like being in that spot.
Stephen Ellis, prospect analyst for the Daily Faceoff, joining us on the Wester Hotline here on WGR. Stephen, you kind of talked about Porter Martone falling down the board. I've seen a ton of mock drafts where you see Martone maybe going 3 to Chicago, or even falling as far as 9 to Buffalo. I saw a couple of them yesterday where he fell to Buffalo at number 9. What other surprises are you maybe expecting, or could you see within the top 10 of this draft?
Well, Roger McQueen is definitely the most interesting, and that's because he's had multiple back injuries. And for a guy, like, first off, back injuries are tough for anybody, but when you're a big guy, that has also shown that that could be an issue, a la Caden Lidstrom this season with the Columbus Blue Jackets. So you want to be careful there, but he's got top five skill. And I remember there was a point where some people were talking about him as the best prospect in this draft because he has the size. He's got the skill at the puck. Does that sound like a familiar guy for the Buffalo Sabres? But yeah, like, that's the thing where he gets taken will kind of really spice things up, because I'd be concerned about his health history because of those injuries. And especially since what we just saw Caden Lidstrom. But I think when you look at the value that he brings, that when he's healthy and he's at the top of his game, he's one hell of a prospect. And I think that will just really kind of change things up depending on where he goes.
Now, given where the Sabres are, again, at number nine, sitting, as you made mention earlier, that once you get outside of the top 10, things get a little murkier in terms of maybe where the projection of some of these prospects may go, even though this is there are still some decent names out there. But what do you think the Sabres should do with that number nine pick? There's plenty of talk here that absolutely they should try to move that pick given maybe some of the assets that they already have here. But is in your mind, would it be all right if they sat with that pick and made that selection? Or do you feel that maybe they should try to get aggressive and move the pick in order to try and gain an asset that can help them immediately?
I think they should keep the pick, and part of that also is you just look like historically in the last 20 years that teams in the top 10 just don't trade their picks. So I think it gets talked about as this thing that happens a lot when in reality it just doesn't. But you can never have too many good prospects. You know, there's going to be some guys that you really believe highly in that just don't pan out. Like obviously Matt Savoy was a guy that they probably were hoping would be this really high-end prospect. Turns out he's pretty expendable. When you get a guy, if you have a guy like Martone up there, I would want to keep him there. I would want to keep the opportunity of potentially getting a Radomirka or a Kashawn Aitchison. So those are the guys that will just give you that extra depth you really need. And I think having a high-end prospect is a lot more valuable than just trading a draft pick. And I think that's the sense I'm getting this year. Like, teams aren't going to be willing to spend a lot to get a high draft pick this year because it isn't this high-end super draft. You're not getting a Gavin McKenna or any of the guys we're going to see next year when that draft is going to be stronger. So if I'm the Sabres, I'm keeping that pick and hoping that guy's in the NHL in 2 or 3 years.
Now, last year we did see the Sabres move down three spots from 11 to 14, and with the 14th pick, they took Konstantin Hellenius with that pick. Is this a draft? I know you made mention outside of the top 10 it gets a little more murkier, but who are some of the prospects that, let's just hypothetically say the Sabres trade back three, four spots, they go to 12, 13, or 14 again. Who are maybe some of the more interesting names there that could be available for the Sabres if they do find a way that, you know, they make a trade that's beneficial to them and they happen to move down the board?
Well, I think Aitchison, the guy I mentioned earlier, is the guy that will probably be available for them. Like, this is one of my favorite prospects in the draft because he is one of the hardest hitters, but he's also so defensively strong, and he's coming off a season where he had around 20 goals and 50 points. So he knows what to do with the puck. Some scouts don't think he's going to be able to translate that offensively to the big leagues, and he's not huge by any means, but he's just so competitive that I believe he's going to be able to make it work. Jackson Smith could be a top four defenseman. It's not a super strong year for defensemen, but you're getting some good options around this pick. Yeah, like the 10 to 13 area, you look at Victor Eklund, I can see him still being available depending on, again, where Roger McLean goes. Justin Carboneau just had a really good season in the queue with nearly 50 goals and around 90 points. Carter Bear, a very competitive forward out of the WHL, he got injured near the end of the regular season, so we didn't get to see him kind of hit his full potential, but that is one athletic kid, man. He can go out there and beat almost anyone on one-on-one situation. So there's going to be some talent, not the high-end talent, but I think you're still looking at guys who could be the maybe a second-line forward or even a second-pairing defenseman.
One of the more interesting questions I think gets asked anytime there's a draft is first-round goaltenders. I know that it's been a couple of years since we've seen a first-round goaltender going, but this year seems like there's that possibility with a guy like Joshua Ravensbergen. I mean, do you see a team within the top 32 being aggressive and willing to go swing for a goaltender?
Absolutely, especially teams that have multiple first-round picks, like whether it be Nashville, whether it be Columbus, even Philadelphia. Like, that's a guy that a lot of teams should be targeting. He's big, takes up a lot of space, he's got a really good glove hand. Like, he's got the size, but he doesn't have to just rely on being a big goaltender to make saves. He can go out there and just be this one athletic demon who's just got just great speed. So I think that is one there. I'm not even sure he's the best goalie in the draft. I think that could be Jack Ivankovic. Like, remember that name. Like, this is the guy that has a lot of similarities to Dustin Wolf at the same time. And I thought Dustin Wolf was a first-round quality prospect back in 2019. So Ivankovic's small. He's 5'11", moves very well, great glove hand. But he's going to fall in the draft because he's only 5'11". Now, his dad is 6'5". He is a former OHL goaltender. So you kind of hope he's got time left to grow, but you know, at 18 years old, you don't see a lot of guys have these massive growth spurts, so you never know. But I still think Ravensbergen is going to go in the first round, and part of that is because the talent just falls off at a certain point around like the 23, 24, 25, I think teams are going to just try to bet high here and pick a guy who many believe will be an NHL starter one day.
All right, before we move on to some of the Sabres prospects, Steven, I do want to ask you, because we always like to look ahead with drafts, especially here in Buffalo, because we haven't been to the playoffs in a while. But looking ahead to 2026, this class seems like a really, really strong class, maybe one of the stronger classes we've seen in recent years. What can you tell us about the 2026 class and what to expect out of this group?
Yeah, this is a really exciting group, headlined by Gavin McKenna, who's receiving some of the most hype we've seen of a prospect in a long time. I shouldn't say a long time, I guess. Connor Bedard. So they just outstanding season, 129 points to the WHL. Many believe he's going to go to the NCAA route. So, maybe he's even closer for Sabres fans to go see next year. Although you probably don't want to be picking first overall next year. But in general, just a guy that's going to be a really special talent. Ivar Stenberg out of Sweden had a monster year, one of the most productive players in the Swedish U-20 league, like dominated to the point where like players in this year's draft didn't even come close. So that's really exciting. Looking for a really good puck-moving defenseman, Ryan Lynn out of the Vancouver Giants. Not big, but he's got the skill of the puck to make it work. I really like Keaton Verhoff, a massive defenseman, 21 goals this year. Also of interest, like he only started playing defense when he was 12 years old. Before that, he was a goalie. So he had a bit of a short run time to become one of the best prospects, say, in hockey. So that's exciting. We also might see the highest-ranked prospect out of Latvia, which is pretty cool, Oliver Smirnyk. Could be a top-10 prospect. Maybe later in the first round, we'll see. But he just had a huge season in the USHL, his first year living in North America. He's kind of seen as the future of Latvian hockey. So he's not Zemgus Girgensen, who was never exactly a goal scorer, but this guy is going to be just an exciting prospect. So, it's a good group. You always kind of stay the year before, let's look forward to next year. But I think there's a lot of hype for next season for a good reason.
Steven Ellis from the Daily Faceoff joining us on the Western Hotline here on WGR. He's on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it still, at S. Ellis Hockey. You can find him there. Steven, now shifting back to the Buffalo Sabres, certainly at the NHL team, it's still frustrating because the team hasn't been able to get to the playoffs over the last 14 seasons. However, when looking at their prospect depth, at least, and seeing how the Rochester Americans have played over the years, they're having some consistency getting to the playoffs and having some success. What do you make of the Sabres prospect group and kind of where the direction of the franchise is going given the struggles that they continue to have at the NHL level?
I think we've got definitely around the top 10 in terms of top prospects here. Like, I really am a believer in Konstantin Hellenius. I think that was one of the smartest players we saw in last year's draft, and he's not going to be a high-end offensive threat. And I think when teams were looking at him in the draft, they say, okay, this guy is going to be a very good player. The floor is definitely much higher than a lot of others, but the ceiling wasn't as high. But that's okay, because like, the Sabres do have a good number of young players, but you need someone who could be this all-around threat, who could battle hard and could play a 200-foot game, and that's what he's able to do. I also do really believe in Devin Levi still. A lot less than I think I used to, but you look at what he's been able to do in Rochester, and I think that you still got to be excited about his potential there. He was rushed to the NHL, no question about it. He was too good for college, but he should have never seen the NHL ice in his rookie season, and I think that was a mistake. So after seeing all this time in Rochester, I still am a believer that he could be similar to a Dustin Wolf, not to the same level, but I still think he's going to be a very strong goaltender. I like Noah Olsland. He's good. Isaac Rosie's another one. So there's some good offensive threats. They obviously need a bit more blue line help, so that could make things interesting if they do want to take someone like a Jackson Smith or a Kashawn Aitchison. But I do like where this pipeline is now. You just got to start turning that into actual success at this point, which I know Sabres fans want that.
The one thing that I really liked about Konstantin Hellenius, as you made mention, he's just that complete 200-foot player that certainly has a high floor, not the high ceiling, as you mentioned, but he reminds me a lot of a guy that has had a ton of success in the Stanley Cup Final and Stanley Cup playoffs this year, and even last year, too, Anton Frundell. I mean, if the Sabres were able to get somebody, a production out of Konstantin Hellenius, like an Anton Frundell, I mean, in my eyes, at least, that's a huge win, especially for where they drafted him.
Yeah, like the Panthers, that's the thing. When you look at the way that lineup is made, it's like you've got three lines that could be, you could go up against any line clearly in the NHL. And what you bring up Helenius, so maybe he is your third line center. Maybe he's a third line guy, but he's going to be really good at that because he's got a ton of skill. He's really smart. He battles hard. He could play with anyone. And that is very valuable. Like we saw him play at every level last year with the Finns Junior programs. And it felt like he kind of ended on a sour note because he just kind of had an okay performance of the U18s. But he went from playing with them, like playing pro hockey in Finland, played a couple of games with the senior men's team, went back and played some U18 games, and then went and played with the world championship team. Like, I felt like the way his season ended, it was great to see him at all these events, but he had to play so many different roles, and I think that just was difficult on him. But when he was able to focus this year, you saw what he was capable of doing in the AHL. I liked him at the World Juniors. He was one of Finland's best players. So I do think there's a really good future for him. And I love Anton Lundell in his draft year. I thought he was a guy that was just severely underrated and was going to be a good value player. And we see him really come alive in Florida. So, yeah, I really actually do like that comparison. I feel like this is a guy you could probably win with because he's not going to be a major difference maker up front. But you put him in mid pack of your lineup, and he's going to be very, very good at that. And when a player is described often as a third line player, some people are like, oh, he's not that great. Brad Marchand was a third line player in this playoff. How about Lars Tyrainen, who's one of the most productive players in the playoffs, 5-on-5? Like, you still need good third line players, and I feel like that's where he ends up being. Blaney's just going to be a good one.
And the last thing I'll ask you here about Sabres prospects in particular, is there anyone this year that kind of, this upcoming season, I should say, that kind of sticks out to you and that you're really looking forward to following along with? I know you follow a lot of prospects, both NHL prospects and also the upcoming prospects, but anybody within the Sabres organization that is going to catch your eye for the upcoming 25-26 campaign?
Well, obviously, you want to kind of see if Levi can make the next step, but I've been intrigued with what I've seen from Nikita Dovikov, who 6'3" defenseman, moves well, kind of was out of a prospect no one really thought was going to go anywhere. He was a 6th-round pick, but I think as he got more comfortable in the KHL 2 years ago, you could see a guy that maybe be more of a shutdown guy in the NHL. And 2 seasons in the AHL, he's put up some decent production. He's been much more physical than we ever saw him against a man in the KHL. So maybe he's only a third-pairing defenseman at best. Maybe he's a 7th or 8th defenseman. But I'm intrigued because I don't think anyone saw this guy coming close to being an NHL player. And I feel like he's done enough and he shows enough that he might be something in the system.
All right. Well, Steven, feel free to give yourself a plug and tell people where people can find you and what you got coming out ahead of the draft next week, Friday at this time.
Yep, so my final draft rankings are out, 120 players. It's fun to do that. Mock draft's coming out next week, and they're definitely going to have a ton more prospect profiles leading up to L.A., and I'll be there. I'm looking forward to see how different it is as a decentralized draft, but I'm excited for everyone to be back in person for next year.
Yeah, that is one thing that I'm really interested to see, how the decentralized draft is going to be. Like, is Gary Bettman going to be sort of like Roger Goodell in announcing the pick, or is it going to be Bill Daly, or are they going to go do the whole COVID thing, which was just, it dragged on that COVID, the two COVID drafts dragged on so long because they were just, oh, let's go back to Buffalo. Let's go to Montreal to their draft party and see what the pick is. To me, it's going to be interesting to see how it is. I hope it's not going to be dragging on like a few years ago with the COVID drafts, but man, it is going to be unfortunate not to also see all the GMs, you know, getting up and chatting with each other, and then somebody in the crowd randomly tweeting, oh, you know, Stan Bowman just got up and he's now chatting with Kevin Adams. Like, it's just, you know, the fun times are no longer exactly there, but I'm interested to see it.
See, for me, you look at it, and this gives an opportunity for at least the people that are going to call out the picks. I'm assuming it's going to be, like, people with ties to the team. Like, maybe bring out Ryan Miller or Maxi Mafinaganov. Who knows? And I think that'll be interesting. Like, I was right by Celine Dion when she walked by last year with the pick in her hand that said Ivan Demidov. I thought that was pretty cool, but it's going to be different, but hey, for the players, there's still going to be 100 of them there. They're looking forward to it.
Well, Steven, I appreciate you pulling out the Maxima Finneganoff reference here for him coming out and making a selection for the Sabres. But always appreciate the time, good sir. Best of luck with you for the rest of this upcoming week ahead of the draft, and we'll talk again, I'm sure, down the line.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Stephen Ellis from the Daily Faceoff joining us here on the Westher Hotline. We'll step aside and we'll come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Brayton Wilson, Paul Hamilton here on the Extra Point Show, and you're listening to WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.